For the cause for which I was born, help me. Open my eyes to see and my ears to hear. Lord, bless your word in my spirit. Now begin to pray for the servant of the Lord, that the Lord will begin to pour afresh on him the waters of life. That God will begin to pour in him freshness. That every word he's speaking will be life. It will be life to you. It will be life to you. Lord, let your hand be mighty upon him. Let your hand be mighty upon him. Let your hand be mighty upon him. Say, let your hand be mighty upon him. Let the word of God come out freely from him. Grant him utterance by your spirit. Grant him utterance. Grant him utterance, Lord. Give him the boldness to declare the full counsel of the Lord. The boldness to declare the full counsel of the Lord. Lord, help him, Lord. Strengthen your word in his mouth. Let his mouth be filled with grace. Let his mouth be filled with grace. Every word of God be spoken by him is filled with grace, seasoned with salt. Say, thank you, Father. Begin to bless the name of the Most High God. Pray for yourself. Say, my ears are open. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' powerful name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God.
Once again, can we just greet somebody? Just greet somebody on your left. Tell the person, you're welcome. Greet somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell the person, Happy New Year. I was at a wedding earlier today. They said, you can still say Merry Christmas. It was the Reverend Father. He said there's something in Catholicism that until Jesus is baptized, it's still Merry Christmas. Yeah, so I guess they haven't baptized him, but... All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So nice to be here again for the commencing the teaching of the word for the year 2025 from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries. Before we start today's teaching, as usual, we'd like to take a declaration of understanding. And this is the first one we are taking this year. Better say it well so that it will work for the whole year. You get the point. All right, one, two, let's go. Now I declare.
The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. All right, let's take our seats. All right, let's read together. We're going to read from the book of Psalms. We'll read from verse 1, that's Psalm 90. We're going to end in verse 12. I just want to explain a few principles and then we'll begin to pray for the year, actually, not just now. That is, this prayer is the beginning of prayers we're going to be doing for the whole year. All right? So, Psalm 90, are you there? If you're happily there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, one, two, let's go. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn back from the dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and will fly away. who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Hallelujah. Look at what he said there. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Please, I want to just explain a number of things here. Now, I do this once in a while, just to help people understand some things. Every year, people say Happy New Year, right? And let me just say something about time. Using Greek, the two Greek words, the two main Greek words for time, Chronos and Kairos. So there are two of them. The second one is Chronos, which most people know, from which you get things like chronological, chronometer, stuff like that. Now, Chronos has to do with physical measurement of time, as in seconds, minutes, hours, days, years, and so on and so forth. You get, that's what I mean by Chronos. So if somebody is 25 years old, you can tell how long he has been alive physically on the earth. That is what Chronos does. That's what it does. It measures. But the second one, the Kairos time, is seasons. Do you get my point? It's season. For example, you have a pregnancy is 9 months, but that is one season. You go to university, you come to get a BSc, maybe in environmental studies, whatever that means, okay? And they tell you that it's 4 years. Now, 4 years is Chronos years, but you can stay there for 8 years if your head is not correct. Are you getting my point? Yeah, and then if it's America, you can actually hasten it and be done in 3 years. And we don't do that in Nigeria. In America, they allow you can rush your courses, take one after the other, and graduate earlier than your colleagues. If you really feel like you're in a hurry and you want to get it done with, you can take extra courses, and what originally they said will be 4 years, you'll be done with it in 3 years. So what it means is that there are certain things you're supposed to fulfill within this 4 years given to you. Now, if you don't finish them in 4 years, your own 4 years can be 6 years. Your own 4 years can be 8 years. So what somebody has accomplished in 4 years, you will come out there with the same BSc, but it took you 7 years, as an example. And from where people, from places where, or in places where they allow you to take more courses, what they expect to take an average person 4 years, you can be done with it in 3 years. That is, in that Chronos time, there are things you are supposed to fulfill. When the university says to you, this subject, this course, you will get a bachelor's in 4 years, they don't mean it's automatic. They mean in 4 years, we expect to have passed this core course, this elective, this mandatory, stuff like that. And then when you finish, let's say, chemistry 101, you move on to chemistry 201. And you go on there until you get to chemistry 408, whatever it is. And all of those must be fulfilled. Now, if it takes you 7 years to fulfill that, then that's how long it takes you to get a degree in a four-year course. Your own 4 years has become what? 7 years. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. So what? The 4 years with the Vice Chancellor is like 7 years to you. Do you get it? That's literally what it means. It's all like you're watching the night. So time is not absolute. Now, what I want to say, please, let me not go into details about it. Even now, you know, I was having this discussion with some people the other day. I don't know how many people have heard of that famous blue dot picture of the Earth as Voyager 1 was exiting our solar system and going into interstellar space. How many people have heard of that? Yeah. You can Google this blue dot. So the Voyager is one spacecraft that's been going, it was released in the 70s. There are two of them, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. Both of them have now left I think they've exited our heliosphere. By now, they've probably been severely damaged by radiation from outer space. But as it was about to leave our solar system, a picture was taken of the Earth. Now, let me explain. The Earth from the edge of our solar system was so small. It takes only one pixel, less than one pixel on the screen. It's used to show us how insignificant
we are in the scheme of things. People, that's what they try to paint. That look at how tiny we are in our own, not our galaxy. In case you don't know, our solar system is so tiny in our galaxy that it can only be compared, the comparison between our solar system, not the Earth, the whole solar system, sun, and all the planets, you know, around, all the Mercury, Venus, Earth, you know, Jupiter, Saturn. They said Pluto is no longer a planet, but all the other things, there are plenty of them. Mars, if I jumped Mars, all of them is our solar system. Put together, compared to our galaxy alone, it's like comparing a grain of rice to the Pacific Ocean. Like they say, stop, let that soak in. Did you catch that? Now, within that solar system, they took a picture of us, and we're one tiny blue dot. So they said, it shows how insignificant we are. Do you know when somebody posted in my class, I answered. I said, this blue dot is where the power lies. I said, this blue dot, I said, how great God is that he put the power to control every other thing, this blue dot. I said, you remember that the philosophers said, if a tree falls in the bush, does it make a noise if there's nobody there to hear it? First time I heard that, and I said, silly question. Your presence, does it affect the movement of molecules? Except that 3 years ago, three men, that's 2022, three men were awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics to prove that that question is very accurate. There's no proof any sound was made if nobody was there to hear it. They got a Nobel Prize in Physics for it, for demonstrating that the universe is not locally real, whatever that means. So I said to them, I said, see this blue dot here, see? It determines the existence of every other thing. The sun is not moving if we are not there to see it move. Like the reference will say, they try to give you the date. This fossil is 4 million years old. Say, you don't understand. 4 million years can be created in 5 minutes. If there's nobody there, God can create 4 million years in 5 minutes. He can. That is how complicated this earth is. So please, let me just sit down there for a while. For those of you who are studying science, don't be swayed. When they say, you see this Paleontoros tulutensis, whatever that means, a form of dinosaur existed, you know, 6 million years ago. It shows, see, there was no human being there. So 6 million years could have been deposited by God in 10 seconds. Like what God did in today's 10 seconds, you will calculate it and say it was 6 million years. Since there was nobody there, this 6 million years is inconsequential. What I'm saying, telling you, is not just religion, it's not just theology, it's not just philosophy, it's science. Because the behavior of particles, like they say, those Nobel Prize winners, they explained, somebody was trying to explain their theory, that what quantum mechanics have shown that we are not innocent observers of events. Our observation creates events. That's physics. I'm not talking religion. Someone will say a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. It's not a joke. God can in a day create 1,000 years for you. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes. In 24 hours, he will do the work of 1,000 years. And then if you don't cooperate, what he could have done in literal one day in your life could take 1,000 years. Physics will tell you about time dilation. Time can expand, it can contract, it can this and that. Time is so personal and so impersonal. I hope you understand what I said. That like time doesn't care about you, but your own time is your time, it's not somebody else's time. That's what I mean by that. So to show you that, see, don't worry about time. Don't worry about 1, 2, 3, 4. Concern yourself about what is the content of the time that God has given me. That's why Moses, that's the psalm of Moses, I hope you understand. That psalm was by Moses. You know that. It's not the Psalm of David. All right? What was Moses telling us? Literally, this is where Peter got his own from. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. Peter talked about it later. In verse 4, Moses was saying it here. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by. Or like 3 hours. That's the next line. A watch in the night. One watch in the night. Is it 3 or 4 hours? I think it's 3 hours. It's not even 24 hours. So it can be like a day. It can be just 3 hours. Why? Because you see, what is inside it that is done inside that time is what matters. Time is, you know, the way God created matter, the same way he created time. That's why he cannot age. Because in him, in his realm, time does not exist. That's difficult for us to wrap our heads around. We are so time constrained in everything. We wonder, how can somebody exist outside time? Time was something he invented. If I may use that expression. I'm going to emphasize something here. Don't think time is God. Time is not God. Don't worship time. Let me hurry and do this so quickly because the time will soon finish. There's a bit of truth to that one later. I will get there. But don't make it look like that is what determines your life. There was something that happened in Nigeria some years ago. It taught me a lesson. Where it illustrated the lesson of scriptures. Peter Obi was governor of Anambra. First term. Of course, you remember the story? He ran for governor. The PDP said he won. He went to court. And after 3 years of going up and down, thereabout, they said he was the rightfully elected person. So he was sworn in as governor just a few months before the next election. So he went to court and said, by law, I'm supposed to be governor for 4 years. The tenure of Zikri Zingige doesn't count. Now, it was new in Nigeria. All of us just thought that after Shebi, you'll be governor for is it 8 months or 9 months or is it 18 months? I don't know. It was a very short period of time. I don't want to confirm that now. All right, but for a few months, then your tenure is over. The man said no. He was back in court again. I said, they told me recently, go to court. You know court now. If you don't agree, go to court. And court has worked for him many times. No, court worked for a lot of people. Even the Rivers man too, the same thing. Rotimi Amechi. Somebody has run for governor. That person won. Then they announced that it was supposed to be Rotimi Amechi. So they removed that man. And said, since it was a party that was elected, the proper candidate for the party, that's how he became governor. Now, what I'm talking about, let's get back to the main thing. That was just small gist for those who may have forgotten what happened in Nigeria. Things have happened. But let's get back to Peter Obi's own. So, Peter Obi went to court. Finally, the thing got to Supreme Court. And they told Supreme Court to rule because the election was like next week. So they need to rule now. Is he leaving office or not? Why should somebody else run for, be on the ballot if my tenure is still there? I remember what they told him, that he shouldn't worry. His lawyers were pressing. The Supreme Court justices said there's no need for this worry. That they will read their judgment. And whatever be their judgment, is the judgment that without prejudice to the electoral process. Of course, the election held. And Yuba was sworn in as Anambra governor. Less than 2 weeks later, they read the judgment. I said, no. Peter Obi's tenure is 4 years. All the time just scattered. Until today, Nigeria has not recovered from that. We now have a Edo election is one cycle. Ondo election is one cycle. Osun is another one. You just have Ekiti. People just now have different times. Because they said the time they elect you as governor, you must count. You take office, you must count 4 years. Just a small aside. They had to rewrite the law now because of that, to make sure that all the election petitions are concluded shortly after. Like this long one that 3 years later we're now swearing in as governor. We don't get it. But the point I'm making about it is that look at how human judgment just changed the time. The man got his complete total of 8 years in office. Before that time, so you see, if he wins now, you have only 6 months to go. Human judges said no. They changed the time. So where I'm going is that when it comes to God, therefore, do you think you can do much more than that? This is your time has passed. God said, I said no. Now, in case you don't know, that was what made Sarah laugh. People thought she was mocking. She was not mocking. We need to get some things clear. There's a way revelation will hit you, you burst into laughter. Time will not allow me. I don't want to go into it at all now. But please understand, Sarah was not laughing at God. Neither was Abraham. We have misunderstood that thing because we thought we were the ones laughing. We that comedy is the mainstay of our economy. You know now. Some of the richest Nigerians are comedians, unserious people. Anything they say is not serious. And then they are very rich. Read your scriptures. There's no comedian there. If you're a comedian, don't feel bad. I'm just trying to say, God doesn't crack jokes. Not because he doesn't want to. But even if he joked, every word will come to pass. When he laughs at ridiculous plots. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. When you say things that he's looking at you like, what is he saying? Your plot is ridiculous. It's laughable because it will not come to pass. Plot all you want, it will not come to pass. When men laughed then, it was out of discovery. The Bible says that Abraham laughed. And then he said that we misunderstood it. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. This is how even preachers, let me correct you if you want to know the truth. This is what happened. When he found out that his wife was going to give birth to his own son, and God had made it clear to him, Ishmael is not the son of promise by that. He knew the order of spiritual things. Ishmael would die. So he said, please, I like the boy. Don't let him die. And God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard. Now, what I do is just in scriptures like that. Just go and read it. God granted what he asked concerning Ishmael. And so isn't it that helps us understand that Abraham was not saying, let Ishmael be the heir. No, he never said it. His laughter was a laughter of joy. I don't want to use the word joy. Amazement, that's better. He was filled with awe. The wonder hit him. It hit him, bam! When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Were like them that did what? That dream. Then our mouths were filled with what? Laughter. That's what happened. Abraham's mouth was filled with laughter. When they wrote the book of Genesis, they didn't know people like us were coming along. Who would interpret it as a joke? They understood that it was amazement. What other proof do you need more than the fact that the name of the boy was laughter? God made me laugh. He was not my comedian. I hope you're getting my point. What am I going to say? So when he said to Sarah, you are going to have a son, she did not laugh in disbelief. It's people that added, trying to explain it into scriptures. She didn't laugh in disbelief. She laughed in amazement that God just reset her time. God just changed the time that men said, it's too late. God said, how can it be too late when I haven't come? I don't know whether you're getting my point. God said, I have not arrived. And you say it's too late. Are you people okay? It can't be too late until I show up. I'm talking about the mystery of time. So when you say time is in God's hand, that's what we mean. I learned that some years ago. I don't let time pressure worry me anymore. No, I don't. What you're supposed to do is locate season. Seasons. What is the season? What am I supposed to be doing in this season? Time cannot be your God. Time is a measure. I'll talk about that in a moment. Time is a measure. But time is not God. Time is a measure, but it's not God. What do you mean by being God? It doesn't direct, you know, your life. Not supposed to. One of the things I'm learning these days, and I teach, of course, my children are growing, I'm seeing things, and I'm learning. I realize that, see, if you're a parent, please listen to this carefully. Listen to this very carefully. Your children will be growing. All right? Don't measure everybody with the same time. Don't be in a hurry with anyone. That's what they do abroad. In some of those countries, they have what they call gap years. Children will finish school instead of going to university. Sometimes they have admission. They write to suspend it that we are coming. We'll be back. Please, can you hold my admission? I want to tour the world. I want to go with my friends. We are going to go for, let's take some Christians. I want to go to mission. I want to go on missions to China. To somewhere in one part of Africa. We'll be back. And the mission journey is going to be like 18 months. So school, can you wait for 18 months? I'll be back. But you know, the typical mindset we have around here is quickly finish the school. As if 18 months is wasted. No. They look at it that the experience I will get in 18 months. Some of them will come back and say, I'm not going again. That is going back to the school. It's not one thing we don't have. Let me not start talking about our sociology now. But, you see, it's something I've learned recently, that there's no need. If your child says, look, this university, daddy cannot start next year. What do you want to do this year? I want to go and learn photography. Please let him go. I want to go and work in ministry for a year. Let him. Let her. A daughter says that I want to go and learn how to make fine dresses for 2 years before I go back to school. Now, I'm not saying they should all do that. I'm just saying, don't feel pressured. That's what I'm just saying. Don't feel like, no, time is going. Where's time going? Time is not going anywhere in that regard. Why? Because in that interval, this child is going to gain experience. He's going to get some experience which will end up being a good use of that time. It's only for, see, when people write journals, articles, millionaires under 30, I saw one that one man wrote and said, please, don't mind them. That most people who make it and hit the peak of their careers, they tend to be in their late 40s to 50s. And the guy will start counting them for you one after the other. And that those ones, people like Mark Zuckerberg, they were billionaires before they are 30. They are very unusual. And let me ask some of the fellows, they didn't plan it. They don't know how to do it. They can't do it a second time. The other man just showed, he did a detailed analysis and said, look, guys, leave them. And he was giving successful men on the earth, counting with the same measures. And said, most of them hit it. It's even the Steve Jobs we are talking about, the iPhone, came out, I think, when he was in his early 50s or something like that, or late 40s. Don't they just go, bam, iPhone, and they took over the world? See, it didn't happen. And the fellow analyzed many of them. So all this grew. I must make them before I'm 30. Most people just make breakdown. They make death. Most people are not successful. They will now take a few unusual cases and put them there as the poster boys for you to look at. What are you still doing here? Look at him. What are you still doing here? You go and take a picture of Moses and that of Joseph. Put them side by side. So you two look at it. I'm not emphasizing that. Look, Moses didn't hit it until he was 80. He didn't. Joseph hit it when he was 30. But the peak of his life was sometime later. But ultimately, the man that came at 80. Come on. Oh, yeah. Go and talk to the Jews. They don't remember Joseph when they're talking about Moses. Moses is like God to them. Yeah. For the people of Israel, Moses is like God. God had to kidnap Moses' body so that nobody will worship it. The point I'm making with this is time is not God. What did I say?
Time is not God.
It's a tool in the hands of God. It's an invention of God. There's something He gave us time to do. That's the first point I want to make to us today. Let me just explain some more things before we leave this. I just want to bring out some things from the reading. Then we're now going to the main thing I want to say, which I've already hinted. You will see in verse 10, from verse 7. Let me start from verse 7. Actually, from verse 5, it says, "You have swept them away like a flood," and all of that. Okay? They are like grass which sprouts anew. And I said in verse 7, "For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you." Now, listen to this carefully. "Our secret sins in the light of your presence." That is, we did it in secret. You saw it. And now we are suffering for it. He said, "All our days have declined because of your anger and your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh, accomplishing little." That's what he was saying. Now listen to this, which is why I'm reading all of this, verse 10. "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away." Please, I want us to understand what Moses was saying here. Because sometimes when some things are very well believed in Christianity, you just have the duty to correct it. If people say that God promised us 70 years of life, this is where it is lifted from. Does this sound like a promise to you? Sometimes we don't read in context. It was not a promise. For as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years. Why? It's stated in verse 8. "You placed our iniquities." No, verse 7. "We have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed." You are angry with us. Why are you angry? You looked at our sins and decided to punish. Because of this fury, ignited by our disobedience, our days declined and became 70 years. That's what he was saying. It was a lamentation, not somebody enunciating the promise of God. It was a lamentation. He was saying, look at what has happened to us. When our father came into this land, he was 140 years old. In Egypt, look at how long he said, now we enter this wilderness. Now, the days of our lives, look at what has become. Please, I just want you to understand that. So stop quoting that God said 70 years. He never said anything like that. When Moses began to refer to it, he was lamenting how much they had declined. Which you easily understand. God said, because of this sin you conspired against me, all of you will die in the wilderness. Anyone 20 years and above. So they started dropping dead and they had 40 years to all die of. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, that is short while. So those who were 30 that time, they couldn't live beyond 70. You know, a few years. So they were just dying. Pam, pam, pam. They were just dropping in the wilderness. So Moses said that, only a few make it to be like 80. Some may have crossed 80, but generally, they were like, So those ones who were 20 that time, they wouldn't have made it beyond 60. Because they had to die in that wilderness. That was what he was referring to. That's just to get our theology right, all right? But then the other thing I want to bring up from there is that he now ended everything. He said, "So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." So what did God give us time for? We must learn how to count time properly. Let me tell you why. Because you see, even though time is not God, time was given to us to measure things. I write books as a teacher of the word. If I'm writing a book for one whole year, there's something wrong. Yeah, I wrote a book for 8 years. I'm not saying that I told you, worship and self-control. It took me 8 years. Not 8 years, however, of continuous writing. 8 years of irresponsibility most of the time. 2/3 of it was written in 1 month. So when I say 8 years, it's okay. 1 year, one block. That's not what I was doing. The time I focused on it, I finished it in 1 month. So if I had gone with that pace, the whole book would have been less than 2 months. In 2 weeks, I finished Great Things Can Be Yours. 2 weeks of focus. The book I started writing before I dropped it, I've not finished that one till today. I was writing one book that I just got back home and something just hit me. Great faith. You know, as if it just dropped on you. One moment, bam. I just moved, just closed that file, opened another one and started typing. I was typing a few hours every evening. You know, I was not in Nigeria. I traveled abroad. So there was no wife. There was no kingdom word. There was nothing. I was staying with my brother-in-law. Then he left, all right? So I was not left in the house alone. So some of our brothers also saw that, oh, this guy is not used to this country, so let's make him comfortable. Then that's why I should move to their house, some of our brethren. I declined. They didn't know why, because I said, if I move to your house, every evening we have to sit around the dining table and start talking. Meanwhile, what I used to do is, as soon as I get back from work, I go and eat, and then I start writing. I write till it's 12 midnight because I want my wife to wake up in Nigeria 6 hours ahead. She's 6 hours ahead. So once it's 12, I call. Then we talk for some time. Then after about 25 minutes of talking, I go to sleep. She gets up to go and get the kids ready to go to school. In 2 weeks, I finished Great Things Can Be Yours. Just writing like that in the evenings alone. Are you getting my point? So if I tell you I wrote a book for 8 years, just know it's 8 years of irresponsibility. He was not doing his work. In fact, the scripture was fulfilled in my life that says, before I was afflicted, I abandoned the book. Now I obey your word. Did you get my point? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey your word. The day I got up and said, Banky, if they number your days for you now, what will you do? Because it says, put your house in order, for you will die and not live. I looked at it and said, yeah, I just passed through that valley of the shadow of that death. I've told the story many times. And it wasn't funny because my dear friend died on Saturday. I fell ill on Sunday. So it wasn't like a theoretical you could die. No. Somebody just left us. And it was like, next. And when they said next, they said, Banky, come. There's a way Jonah prayed. Or that when the prayer of Jonah, we don't even know when he prayed because Jonah died. In fact, I can now say it too with conviction now that Jonah died, all right, and he was raised again. Okay, now this is where I'm going. When did all that long prayer you saw him pray? When did he even pray itself? Is it as he was drowning, or people actually pray from Hades? You know, after you die, you can still pray for some time. And there's no time then. Once you've died, there's really no time. So I don't even know. So the time we used to pray, maybe it took 3 days of our time. I don't know. But the point I'm making is that you can pray without saying anything. As you are drawn, and God will hear everything you are saying. You will hear repentance. You will hear commitment. You will hear promises. You will hear begging. All you just did was, you will hear vow. And all you did was, some people that just, you thought they were going to die, and they just woke up. That was what happened to them. They just look at God and say, how would this benefit you? God said, when you were alive, how did it benefit you? You may be laughing, but such conversations happen. And now says, okay, Lord, I get the point. Give me some more time. So God says, okay, leave. Then suddenly, he recovers. That's what he meant by teach us to number our days. God gives us time, physical time, to accomplish events, seasons, things that are supposed to be accomplished within an allotted physical time. So even though time is not God, but God, we allot time. I told you to write this book. It's been 8 years. One of the things I learned in recent times, over the last 1 year, I think thereabout, to 18 months. Unconsciously in my heart, I depended on the nudging of the Spirit for some things. And God made it clear to me last year, ain't nudging nothing. I won't nudge you to get up in the morning. You should have enough sense in your brain to know you have work to do. Say, Banky, when last did I nudge you to go and brush your teeth? When last did I nudge you to go and have a bath? When last did I nudge you to go and sew a new shirt? You know, have enough sense to do all these things. Then I have to nudge you to do right things. Are you all right? If you know it is right, plan to do it. And do it. And stop waiting for the nudging of the Spirit. Let me be honest with you. You've heard me many times. I don't like those who move by the Spirit. Once you're a mover by the Spirit, let's just know each other. I look at you with suspicion. Please, for those who have not heard me enough, understand what I mean by that. I don't mean the Holy Spirit does not lead Christians. Go and read. I even wrote a book on it, Guided by the Spirit. I wrote another book, Receive the Holy Spirit. So I believe in the Holy Spirit as much as a Christian should, I believe. What I mean by those who are moved by the Spirit are people that you can't predict. There's no order to what they do. It's when they wake up in the morning, how they feel. I'm sorry I use the word feel. They claim it's the Holy Spirit. I say it's not the Holy Spirit. You should have good habits. I see preachers, sometimes they will tell you that I'm coming to preach for you. The day they are coming to preach, they start checking their spirit. You're not supposed to check it. You're supposed to just go. Remember one brother once, I invited him to come and do something for us long ago. They sent a message to me that he doesn't think he'll be able to come. Now, we planted this thing weeks ahead, though. The day of the meeting, said something came up, and I went, I said, Oga, please, we have an agreement. You're supposed to be here to teach for me now. He said, he cannot leave this thing he has to do. Then he sat down. After I pressed him, I said, okay, let him pray. He now sat down in front of me, and he began to pray. I was much younger then. This was long ago. I was looking at him like this. When you finish pray, you're still going to come. Because you see, my own, look. See, as young as I was, I told myself I will not be impressed with this prayer. God forbid. He rubbed stomach. He did everything. I was just sitting down there. Speaking of, I was just looking at him and said, bro. After he finished praying, he told me, no, he's sorry, he can't come. I said, okay. People like, say, you don't get my point. I pressed. He finally agreed, okay, he'll be there. Do you know what he didn't show? He says, moving by the Spirit. Me, I don't believe in that. Those of you who do it, stop that nonsense. Let the Spirit speak to you before you give me your word. When those things happen, there should be rare exceptions. That's what I'm trying to say. When I say I don't believe in all this move by your Spirit, that's what I mean. You and I can have an agreement on something and I have to be praying that your Spirit will move you the day you fulfill the agreement. It's not Christianity. That is not Christianity. The real move of the Spirit is training your heart to think the way God thinks. That's the real thing. I was saying about things I've learned in recent times. The Holy Spirit has helped me to understand. I say, oh boy, I know they nudge again. Oh. I've told you something. I've nudged you before, nudged you a second time. Next time I come, I stab you. I ain't nudging. And I keep on saying, God does not do demo. You know what they call demo? For those of you who don't understand Nigerian English, is to... Can you say that in English? That's what you did now. Can you do it in English? You don't... I say it in Igbo. To maja you. God doesn't maja anybody. When God does it, he's coming. If he raises his hand, he's coming. You had better pray and learn how to stop it. You can stop it quickly with repentance. Change of mind. Change the direction you are going. That's what God does. So if it's not maja, that thing comes down, you're dead meat. You can't dodge? No. You can't dodge it. The only thing that when he's bringing it, he likes to bring it slowly. Yeah, that's one thing about him. Why? With the hope that when you see it coming, you will quickly make amends. You will quickly change your mind. You will quickly change your direction. If he says, go to Nineveh, you buy Nineveh ticket now. As it, once you see him come, start booking online. Nineveh, how much? They say, is your whole house, sell the house, buy the ticket. That one you bought to Tarshish, tear it, throw it away. That way you will not drown. That's what he does. When I say, what I mean by spiritual people that are not dependable. You can't rely on them for anything. They are the ones I'm talking about. And God is saying, listen, I've not you enough. Once I've told you something, get up and do what you are supposed to do. Why does he give us time? You should use the time and check. Say, oh boy, you wrote this book in 2 weeks. You wrote this one in 1 month. This one is taking 6 years. What is going on? If you do that, you realize that your problem is what the Bible calls busy here and there. I like the way Kenneth Hagin said. He said once, the Lord, really prophetic, you know, I don't know whether the Lord appeared to him. But by prophetic insight, he heard the word of the Spirit anyway. He said, what are you planning to do about the gift I told you I gave you 10 years ago? And he told the Lord, I was not planning to do anything about it. Now I know. He was waiting for the thing to move. He was waiting for the Spirit to move him. And the Spirit had been watching him for 10 years. He said, the Lord, he told the Lord, I was not planning to do anything about it. The Lord said, you have to or else. He said, I believe I will. He said, Lord, but I've been waiting on you. God said, no, I have been waiting on you for 10 years. When I told you I gave you a gift, what did you think I meant by it? You think I gave it to you can put it under a basket? What do you think it was about? Read what Paul said. Stir up the gift. If the gift is there, stir it up. Don't abandon. Don't leave it. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Don't leave the gift to die, drown, you know. Just abandon. Shrivel away because of lack of use. You stir it up. That's what the gift's time for. So this man, 10 years ago, I told you about a gift. 10 years later, you've done nothing about it. And you're losing it on a daily basis. Because it slips away. At a point in time, you see, I don't know which of the books I talked about it. You can, it's possible, and as I'm preaching now, some people's gifts will be stirred up by way of reminder. It's possible, you abandon a gift, you won't even know you have it. See, let me tell you something there. That's what the Bible calls the sleep of death. This is not just about dying now, literally being dead and buried physically, no. There's a kind of sleep of death in which you are alive, you're comfortable, especially if you have pursued comfort and you have found it, that you'll be dead to the things that really matter in your life. You will have a teaching anointing like I have, and you will not even remember. You'll be saying, man, I like Pastor Banks. God is looking at you like this one. You like who? Say, if you will just do. One day I told one of our brothers, one day I said, oh boy, you know you are gifted. He said, yes, he knows. So what are you going to do about it? He said, this is what he's supposed to be doing. So when are you planning to start? You're 50-something. God forgive me. But one of the most gifted, anointed preachers I know is still chasing shadows and he's almost 60. I can almost say that I think he has forgotten that he's anointed. Yeah, I think he has forgotten. When I see what he's pursuing, it makes me laugh. I say, no, you know Dangote? You know Otedola? You know those men? Uh-huh. Imagine that you see them in the market, all right, measuring cups of rice for sale. You know you're going to look like, excuse me, are you now in Vine Nation because you must be acting? Is he a skit? Yeah, that's why I mentioned Vine Nation. There must be something you guys are acting. That's why I look at him when he brags on some things. When he brags on some things, you know, I'm embarrassed. No, imagine Bishop Oedipo bragging on an article he wrote for The Guardian on climate change. Thank you. Thank you. God will bless you. This guy is an anointed man of God. And he comes to you and says, is it okay? And you're looking like, Bishop Oedipo, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. You read an article on climate change? Please, I don't get it. What did you say? And he's bragging. I show you. They published it now. They published it. And you, in your heart, maybe God allows you to see that is a man that heads of states sent personal messages on his birthday. That's what he's supposed to be. This is a man who men didn't know what to buy for him. One of his sons came and gave him a brand new Rolls Royce, knowing that he won't drive it. I don't know where I get my point.
Yes.
He lives near, he doesn't go anywhere. When he leaves that place, he's in a helicopter. They fly him to the airport. Buy him 10 Rolls Royce, he can't drive it. Festus Keyamo every day is defending, giving him an airstrip license. They said withdraw it, he said lie. Bishop will build his airstrip in Otter. So that now he doesn't need a helicopter. His plane will land at the back of his house. From there, it takes off and go anywhere he wants to go. And imagine such a man, you can see these things. He now comes and says, have you seen the newspaper? I read an article on climate change. You know, you are going to look like, how did this your Ika board like this? I see men like that. What pains me, is that I look at them, I say, they don't even know. They have forgotten. That's how gifts are. When you abandon them for long enough, even you will forget you ever had it. That nudging of the spirit I tell you about will vanish. With each year of neglect, it keeps getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Each year you neglect the gift, it gets weaker. That's why Paul had to write to Timothy that I was there. The elders gathered, they laid hands on you. I laid hands on you. We prophesied. But bro, stir up the gift. The gift will not wake you up in the morning. You wake it up. You will wake up in the morning like everybody else. Then you now tell yourself, the word of the Lord came to me through the mouth of the Apostle Paul. And he said this, and that. Stir up the gift. If you feel one way or the other, you have the gift, for example, of healing, go and look for sick people. Just be looking around, just somewhere, say, how are you now? Say, I'm fine. Are you sure? Your head is not aching you. What do you mean? No, just any tool to check your, wriggle your toe. Just, why? I need to lay hands on somebody. After a while, you will know how your gift is most stirred up. Yes. You will know. But when you find out, start stirring it up. Look, you know why gifts are abandoned? You know why? Number of reasons. One, the one that Paul told Timothy directly is timidity. Yes. Timidity is one. Closely aligned is fear. There are different kinds of fears. If I prophesy against this, now they may lock me up. Prophesy, son of man, prophesy. He said, no, they may put me in prison. You know, I'm too young. That's what they call timidity. I said, closely aligned is what? Fear. God said, don't be afraid of them. When people are afraid, when they are timid, those things, they abandon their gifts. Another reason why they abandon is also fear. Is fear of what? Future what? Thank you. Future hunger. You know, what shall we eat? Some of these gifts, and you know, they bring money. Some gifts, they don't bring money. Let's talk to those of us and preach. See, you know, some people now go and learn bad habits. If you're a preacher, preaching doesn't bring money. Just leave it like that. Don't go and learn those who ask to show you how to use it to bring money. People know how to prophesy. When I see your face, I prophesy. That is, it's not really when I see your face, when I see your money. Your face is in your money. So people learn those things. Don't learn them. I'm talking to some preachers. Don't learn them. You have a job that doesn't bring money. Leave it like that. If you want money, you ask. You know what Paul did one time when he was hungry? He went and bought material, sold tent, and sold it. This was a guy preaching hard. So get it clear. Peter never did that. I'm not saying everybody must do it. But don't let fear make you neglect your gift. Just to end down about Paul. He didn't do that for a long time. As soon as Timothy came, he went to preach. He said, Timothy, finish the tent. All right, I don't cut down. Join that play. Put peg here. Yeah? That one at $25, okay? He went to go and teach. But gifts can be abandoned. That's the point I'm making. It can be so abandoned that it will shrink, shrivel, and the owner of the gift will forget he's gifted. And listen to me. God doesn't wait forever. I've told you now. Holy Spirit will remind you if it after he leaves. You say, better remember for yourself. Better pray. Look. Better pray that people will be praying for you to pray that you remember. Honestly, Holy Spirit will just leave you. I'm not talking to him again. Why? He's too stubborn. I've learned that in recent years. Not to wait for the prompting of the Spirit. Once he has prompted, you should be prompt. You have been pumped. That the rest is now your problem. Your duty now is to pay attention. Don't let any... Today as we begin to pray, you will pray that God, whatever gift I have abandoned. How do we get into that? I think it was a prophetic insight for some people. Back to the main thing I'm saying. So one of the things God gives us time for is things like that. I gave that example. Told a book I wrote in 2 weeks. Another one, 2/3 of it, did it in 1 month. So why did it take 8 years? It's not lack of insight. The sketch, there's a way I write, okay? Some other people know they do research when they want to write. No, when I want to write, is let me put it this way. It's one word that's in my head. I just keep blowing it up, spreading it, pushing it out. Just one word, just like a key. Boom. Like I say, how to work for God. As soon as I think of that book, I already know that I want to explain to people that the work is first inside before it is outside. And that's the number of sections you saw in that book, How to Work for God. Sometimes I start like that, I'll just put like 10 points down, under 1 point. And as I'm writing, I drop one chapter. No, expand one chapter, add another one. Tracks like, when I wrote the tracks, This is Faith, Dare to Believe. Those are things I write at a sitting. That is, I don't take a break. In fact, I remember This is Faith. I started one time, something about faith. Those early days, I wasn't typing fast those days. Then I wrote another day. I was trying to write. Then suddenly, I wiped everything I had written up to that. I wiped it away and started. And did not stop until that track was complete. Bam, 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 I just kept on. The pressure is just there. I finished the whole thing. Bam. And I call it, I just titled, This is Faith. That was not the original title I gave it. What I now do later is, I now go through it, as I'm reading through it, I now make corrections, and add here, add there, but the whole meat is, I remember that one very well. At a sitting, bam! So if it took so long, it wasn't research I was doing. I was being negligent. I should have realized this has taken too much time. That is what time is used for. One use of time. Why did God give us time? Another thing he does with time. Now that's what we use time for. There's one thing he uses time for, in which we walk with him. You'll find out from Revelation. Let's just read that well. Okay, just for the sake of reading. Now this that I'm bringing up is very crucial. That's Revelation chapter 2, yes. It was talking about Jezebel. Look into verse 21. What did he say? Give her time for? Those who are not there, get there. Revelation chapter 2. Go to verse 21. What did he say? I gave her what? Time. If you are using King James, use the word space. But I checked many translations, they all use the word time. I gave her time to repent. Time was given for repentance. Now, if you remember where we began from, we didn't read from Peter, but Peter told us a day with the Lord is like what? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. He said, God is not slow concerning his promises. But he appears slow because he's waiting for men to do what? To repent. What determines how long time takes? Let me put it like this. What determines how long a season will take in time before the season changes is how long it takes for you to repent. I hope you're getting my point. I like the expression process of time. Even though that's not literally what we are talking about, but it's a beautiful expression. Time is used for processing. Time is used for processing. Time is used for processing. So anytime God puts you in a particular position, ask yourself, what am I supposed to learn? What changes am I supposed to make in my life? Let me tell something to you. This is our school of prayer. Prayer is critical in the lives of believers. You know when it's time to pray? Every time there's a challenge, every time there's a question, every time there's a confusion, every time there's pain, every time there's lack of clarity, you know it's time to pray. If you are driving on the road, you hit a gallop, bam, almost breaks your rim. You go forward again, your tire goes down. Before you change the tire, pray. No, it's not about the witches on the road. They are not on the road. I hope you're getting my point. Is it? Oh, God. I've warned some of you stubborn people. After they finish hearing you teach like this, they'll go and join a prayer that will now tell them that this morning you want to destroy every enemy standing on your road. See, the only enemy that's standing on your road, nowhere is standing, inside your heart. So if the prayer is not directed at that, you are wasting your time, you are wasting the Lord's time, and I think you're also wasting my time because you heard me teach and you wasted my anointing. I hope you're getting my point. Do you know it amazes me Christians still wake up to pray. This 2025, any power fighting my destiny will die by fire. Are you okay? You should have stopped this habit a few years ago. So when I say stop and pray, please, it's not the witches I'm talking about. If you see witch on the road that wants lift, give him lift. There's nothing he can do. So what are you doing on the highway? Enter motor. Let's go to church. Stop looking for who to. Yeah, so don't be afraid. That's the point I'm making. Don't be afraid. There's no need. There's absolutely. So when I say stop to pray, it's not hard. No, sometimes God, literally, God actually doesn't want you to go. One of our brothers, Bishop, he told me the story once. He had a problem with the man he was working with that time. He was angry and said, I'm going to see this man. I'm going to talk to him. So he got his head driving. Halfway to the man's house, his car filled with smoke. As if something was burning. So he quickly parked. Looked for the source of the smoke. He called the electrician. They checked the car up and down. They never found where the smoke came from and the smoke didn't come back. He did not need anybody to tell him to go back home. That God said, this journey is not correct. When I was supposed to preach here, but I needed to travel some. Let's make a long story short. Now, many of you may not know, I don't miss preaching here easily. It's very difficult for me. Very. Now, we're going to travel. I was going for a meeting. And that's okay. I'll just spend. This was really like Friday. And I said, no, I'll just relax. That next day, I told my wife and I did two of the children to come. Let's go. Oh, I'll just relax. I don't tell you, came to you, preach and all of that. God, they're looking like, Banky, that meeting is ending Friday night. First thing on Saturday morning, you should have been on your way back to come and preach. But I said, no, I will just chill. I mean, come on. There's nothing wrong with just missing one day. That's my attitude. So God said, oh, yeah, start going. That never happened to me before. It was my first day. It never happened. I got to Onitsha. The bridge, they just padlocked it. Not literal padlock, but it's a gridlock. From 5 o'clock till 12 midnight. No, I wasn't joking. We crossed that place 11:30. I got into us about 12 midnight. Now, some people say, oh, you're unlucky bridge. See, I reason differently, brethren. I reason differently. Omi and Liz in Asaba. So, she has gone for the meeting ahead. So, I was joining the meeting online. The meeting where I was ready. I had to be joining them by Zoom or WhatsApp or one thing. I was inside there. When I finally crossed that place 11:30, no problem. Of course, we couldn't go beyond the server. So Mamiyan called the people in her house. So they made food for us. We got to her house, ate, slept. Next morning, you think I continued the journey? You think I continued? I drove to the park, hired a taxi, put my wife and the two children, wanted to go to Benin with me. I put them inside. Bye-bye. I turned back to Enugu. By afternoon, I was back. Why? I came back to preach at 5 p.m. I said, Lord, I get the point. If you don't see me here, especially on Saturdays, it's a serious matter. That day, I remember I sat down and said, Lord, but you know I'm traveling. Why didn't you open this road? And look like, you, where are you going? Why were you not planning to go back? I'm sure if I had plotted the first next morning, I'll be on my way back. He would have opened that road for me. So halfway through, I prayed. I remember, in fact, my wife, she may not remember, the point in time I came down from the vehicle. I just took a walk inside the heavy gridlock. I just took a walk. I walked up and down. I was saying, Lord, what's going on? I've been here for hours. I mean, you don't do things like this to me normally now. I was like, oh, Papa God, I talk. When I finished praying, I came back to the vehicle, to the car. So once I escaped this one, I'm going back home. That day, of course, we had to sleep in Asaba. Next morning, I put them in a taxi. Please continue the journey. Me, I am going back to do the work of him that sent me while it is day. That's what I mean. Forget witches. You know, some of you pray against witches. I don't know. Do you know I don't know any witch? I don't have any relative that's a witch. No neighbor that's a witch. I don't know, have any. I don't know where you people get witches from. I'm also from an African place. So people say, you know, in your ancestral lineage, maybe they worship idols. Stop talking nonsense. Every African worshipped idols in their lineage. It's not only you that your head is not correct, that has people that... No, it's true. Some of these words of men, they are just very relaxed. Maybe your father was a slave trader. The one that didn't trade slaves. He stole goats. Do you get my point? Everybody has something. Let me not start stories. What? There are so many stories in my head. If you hear me say things like when I say that in their family, there's madness. I said there's no family. That there's no there is none. Some of them were never diagnosed. There's no there's no family, at least in Africa. In fact, in Europe, not America, there's none. There's none that doesn't have some degree of madness. But sometimes, some people's madness, there's so much prosperity, well balanced, it didn't show. Some people, you know, when pressure, problem come, that is when you know that the screws in their head, they are not complete. And that's when the guy is walking, his head always bending to one side. I'm telling you. But you did not know because they had money. The other guy that's crazy, he's not like something's terribly wrong with him. Hunger can remove your sense. I'm telling you. So when I told him, we'll be laughing, I see what I'm saying is not true. See, I almost went mad twice in my life. Both of them, my wife caused it. So if I never married, how would I have known that I had madness in my family? The first one, we're not even married. I didn't even know her seriously that time. This girl do me something strong. No, just imagine you show up for your wedding now, say, I want to go and marry. They look for the bride, they not see her. You know, go crazy. It's not exactly that. I mean, our wedding, she came, all right? But it was something similar, something like that, about, 12 months before. Now she's doing me something strong like that. And I remember that day I was walking on the road. My friend, who's currently the provost of College of Medicine, University of Benin, he drove past. He said, that looks like a banking, but it can't be. And it's a program of pediatrics in Benin. I'm not kidding. Later he told me, he said, Bangi, actually that's something. I said, but no, it can't be. You are kind. And that day, when he was, because the car drove past, as he approached, I turned my head to one side. I was looking on the ground like this. And I remember that day, I said, now, what I'm telling you is not a joke. It happened literally. I said, oh, so this is how people go mad. I don't marry though. We finally got married about 12 months later after this experience. She had not even agreed. In fact, okay, I won't tell you the full thing, but I actually came to ask her to marry me. What did this girl do to me? I went mad and recovered. If I didn't recover, if I didn't recover, I wouldn't be here today. How did I go into that? So when I hear some people say that, go and investigate what that person gets, bad advice, I believe that thing. There's no family. But some of these families that he has in, they don't carry the person, put on for where you don't go see them. What was I saying when I got there? Do you know? So when I say stop to pray, please, it's not witches. That's what I'm talking about. But sometimes God puts thoughts, stumbling blocks on your way. When you find one stumbling block after another, like the one I told you, if today now, in fact, I had to take anti-malarials, all right? Years will pass. If in a year I find that I was so sick twice, I have to treat malaria, I go and pray. I have to go and pray. Say, what is going on? What is going on? I need to know what. What is going on? Mia Faru, what is going on? How do you say what is going on in Igbo, my teacher? What's the other one you added? That is speaking on Shelley. Waiting they happen. No, I need to know. Sometimes it's not something critical. I told you the story when I was in Lagos those days. I was ill. I wanted to take my God said, relax. What would this medicine do for you? I threw everything away. What happened was I see you have been too busy. You that used to chop wood morning, afternoon, and night. When last did you eat? Because I settled down. Feed yourself spiritually. You don't know, but you have become weak. See, now it's malaria that's the problem. Tomorrow, it will be other kind. It will now be sins you'll be falling into. Now you're just falling into small sickness. Do you know sickness is safer than sin? If you are sick, Satan cannot use that in accusation against you, can he? Say, Lord, look at him. If I say, God, say, that's how I should show him mercy. So God says, sick come small. Why? Because if we don't, tomorrow, however, we will begin thief money. We don't thief money now, like for 3 weeks, 3 months, 1 year at a stretch, you go begin chase women. And if you chase women, you will catch one. And Satan will now say, I don't catch this one. So God say, hey, he's weak. His strength is weak. He's small. He's getting weaker and weaker. Catch him now. Just give him small knock on the head. They give him, your head will be banging. God say, go home and go and pray. Now, I'm not praying for healing of headache. I didn't get you here to talk about headache. You are here to talk about your spiritual state. If I didn't catch you with this one, now next time they'll be discussing the problem of this country with you. There is actually the APC has finished us. Statement that you have, do you know, another thing, when you start making statements you have never made, go and pray. Yes, sir. You hear somebody like me say, APC has finished us in this country. Guys, just lock the door. Say, Pastor, you're not going. We are fasting and praying. Why? We heard you say, APC has finished us. You. From when? How? And I'm not joking about this. If you're a couple, when you get home, hold your husband and say, Pastor is about to die. Pray. My Father, mercy. Mercy. When you're not here next morning that I couldn't get up, I say, Father, God is answering you. Don't get worried. Why? Because you heard me say, APC has finished us in this country. You know, those are statements I need to backslide to make them. So when I make them, I'm backsliding. You saw what happened to Moses. Was it a heavy thing he did by anybody's standard? God said, strike, speak to the rock. He take vex, strike the rock. And that, to him, was a heavy thing. Was heavy. Oh, let me try and get to the point I'm trying to make. I was saying that when you see things like that in your way, go and pray. Because what God uses time for is to process you and I. He said, I gave her time to repent. See, forget this calendar thing. January 1, 2025 is not the beginning of a new year. Leave that in. The year is not new. To the Chinese people, is it new yet? It's not now. They've not reached Chinese New Year. To the Muslim, is it new yet? No, everybody has his own calendar. So don't tell me. People say, I cannot do crossover, but I'm in church. I've seen people leave beer parlor, enter church. 11:30, they enter church. They prophesy. No, I'm not talking about something that happened to some people that I was watching them. They will leave the booze on the table. Sometimes the babes will follow, but sometimes the babes will go wait there. You now enter church. We'll pray. This year shall be a good year for you. Amen. Once it's 12:05, they go back to finish the bottle. And I said they crossed over in church. Crossover from sin into sin. Where you did it doesn't matter. I mean, where you crossed over. Did you cross over from sin into righteousness is what matters. And any day you do that is your new year.
Yes, sir.
That's the point I'm making. Your new year is when you drop old habits that are bad and you pick up new ones that are good. It's when you drop things that tend towards disobedience and you pick up things that tend towards obedience. So that you drop titles like sons of disobedience. Do you follow my point? That is when the year becomes new. Why? God gave us time to repent. I started by saying, look, don't let chronological time, 5 years, so I've not done things, but don't let it, it's not your God. So when your mates have built a house, you haven't, it doesn't mean anything. That's what I'm talking about. When I say, don't make time your God. But I now said, God gave us time to measure. Are we being efficient or are we being what? Inefficient. I mean, say time shouldn't be your God. But if you enter school and you signed up to get a bachelor's of arts in history, 6 years after, you are still in the third year, you know there's a problem. You know there's a problem. I was telling my wife a story yesterday, about 2 days ago. No, we've been filled with the Spirit for a long time. I told you that when we were on campus. We had one brother those days when he was in school. He was a very well-known preacher on campus. There's only one problem. He spent 8 years to get a degree for a 4-year course. Yes. Spent 8 years to get a bachelor's in what took other people 4 years. I was there, not story they told me. So one day he came to our fellowship. We're acting a drama on how students should balance their study and spiritual life. He was not a member of our fellowship, but he came. I didn't know him. I didn't even know his story. I was still young that time. I didn't know the whole story. I was one that acted his role. Now, we didn't know it was him. We didn't know he was coming. He was not a member of our fellowship. We're just trying to, you know, help brethren balance things. So somebody said, where are you coming from? Brother Bank, we use our real names for our dramas, all right? It makes it easier for us because they are short dramas. I said, yeah, I'm coming from All Fellowship's Fellowship, you know, that kind of thing. So everything, we're there, anointing in the drama. So the whole congregation, they were laughing. So one brother Eric, was not telling me, trying to counsel me, that's not how it is. You're a student, you balance the... So at the end of the day, they not told me that all of them were embarrassed. Why are you embarrassed? Say, this brother was sitting in front. I said, so how has that got to do with us? They said, you don't know him. I said, I don't know him. He said, that role you played, that was just his life. Even with me, I was not embarrassed. I mean, I didn't know. I wasn't the one that wrote the script. We're just acting. But he spent 8 years to get a bachelor's in a course that normally takes 4 years. It was a wrong use of time. That's what God gave him time for. That was supposed to tell him, oh boy, you are not doing it well. If you don't want to study, it's not compulsory. But if you are going to be here, do it. And last of all, I said, God gave us what? Time to process us. To show us what is wrong. He said to that woman called Jezebel, I gave her time to repent. Now, let me just say this one before I close. Then we'll begin to pray. That time he gave her to repent is counted. He will not extend it. There are 2 ways he gives people time for repentance. There are 2 ways. One is simple chronos. You have 4 years to repent. You have 10 years to repent. You have 15 years. The second part, overlaid on that chronos time, counting in years and days and months, is laid opportunities. For example, over that 15 years, over that 10 years, it may be that the Holy Spirit will come 5 times with pressure. Maximum of 5 times. When the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found, a time comes he can't be found. It's a call upon him while he's near. A time comes he's so far away, you shout, he doesn't listen. Please, I'm begging everybody, don't delay repentance. This is how you know Satan has caught people. By next year, I will change. That one will never do it. It's a trick of the enemy. Let me explain something to you. Judas could not have repented. Do you know why? The time for repentance passed before Jesus started ministry. I know what I'm telling you. Please, I say that carve it in stone is truth. It's the truth. It's incontrovertible. It's the truth. The moment Jesus went and prayed and chose 12, the time for Judas's repentance was over. There was no preaching you could preach to change him. There was no intercession you could intercede to change him. There was no pleading you could plead before the God of heaven to change that Judas. Once Jesus chose him amongst the 12, he was sealed. Time will not let me prove it to you now, but just take it like I've said it. That is why we don't play with repentance. If they say, oh boy, you too, they lie. Once you have been told, the number of opportunities for change, one has gone. Sometimes you don't know whether it's the last. So why take the chance? Why take the chance? Because truly, that may be the final one. Not a joke. You want to know? Two things he counts there. One, chronos years, days, months. He can say, hey, that guy has 8 years. In the 8 years, he has 7 chances. Whichever comes first. And one story I heard, one man of God. They warned this young man. Warned him. Warned him. This is America. The life he was living was riotous. One day he went out, he drank. He got drunk. He was driving. He got to the wrong house. Started knocking on the door. You know America. And the owner of the house shot him through the door. And blew his mouth open. And when he was hospital, you know what he was saying? I was warned. I heard him. I was warned. I did not listen. And he shouted, I think, till he died. When they say, seek the Lord while he may be found. See, we pray all the time against calamity and troubles and all that. But today I was reading 2 Chronicles, I think chapter 21. And was it Jehoram? And I saw Elijah. I didn't know his man used to write letters. Did you ever notice that he wrote a letter to this king of Israel, a king of Judah, and said, you don't listen. I will make you sick. Your intestines will come out. No, that body didn't listen. I said, are you crazy? A prophet? Elijah wrote him a letter. People of God, please, I'm begging you, don't delay repentance. The number of opportunities have been counted. The length of time you have has been determined. So as soon as you are corrected about something, rush, hurry. Let me tell us the story again of Benghazi. You know, I said the sin unto death is the one that you have been corrected concerning. The deathness, I invented that word. The deathness or the death intensity of the sin is directly correlated, is directly proportional to the number of times you have been corrected. A time comes after this final correction, there will be no opportunity for repentance if you don't take that one. They will now say destruction has been determined, overflowing with righteousness. That's how the prophet said. That's what I mean by if they correct you about something, please go and pray. And quickly, please don't joke with it too. I'll tell you about Benghazi. Hot temper. You know, people start. Please, everybody say, bitterness will not stay in my heart. Say bitterness. will not stay in my life. Say, I will not allow the root of bitterness. Because when it springs up, it troubles people. And many are defiled. Please, don't joke with bitterness. You know, yesterday, one of our sisters, the story is long. One of our sisters said something that happened to her, and she was so distraught, and she was telling us. So another sister, a younger one, started laughing. And said, "Ma, I'm not laughing at you." She said, "This is just the story of my life. That when our mother died," said, "we're only three in the family. You know, our eldest sister put me and my younger brother in police cell and promised us we'll die there. You don't understand? Those are the only two siblings she had. And they had a father that was alive. They broke his heart." She said she spent the first few days in police cell begging her brother not to be bitter. She said, "I like the way your mouth opened. You didn't know such things could happen." Then after they settled the issue of bitterness, she knew that she couldn't take this thing to heart. She was begging her brother, "You have to let it go." They were in police cell. My wife read the story. She's like, "Such things happen." The person that said that she had problems, she read that one and said, "I thought I had problems. This is not..." Where am I going with the story? Why will you do this to your own siblings? You start hearing nonsense. And she thinks she's finer than me. I told my wife, I said, no, forget it. That is what called, you don't know what they call demons. Paul said the root of bitterness, when it springs up, it troubles people. Many are defiled. And she was planning to wait. Say, "Let me see that wedding take place now." You know, there are things you read, eh? Why didn't it shock me too much? I understand demonic operations. Say, these are demonic operations. Why? You let bitterness enter into the heart. But she got the victory. I mean, completely. She don't like it. "Oh, this one you are doing. God solved it." He said, "Don't worry, I won't take it against you." What is your brother? What do you have against your brother? One day, he laid hands on me while I was playing with my mother. He didn't beat her. Just grabbed her. See, don't joke with bitterness. You know I'm telling the story? You know I'm telling about Ben Carson. Ben Carson's bitterness was, "I don't have clothes." You see what I said? "I don't have clothes. My friends are wearing trendy things. My single mother cannot afford it." As if it's a sin. Sweetheart, when we get home, remember this point I made. I said, "There's something I want to tell you about something." I need to give you the gist. If you can remember this point. No? Family issue. Bitterness. Don't joke with it. Ben Carson was angry. They couldn't afford the fine things and all of that. Until one day, he found he had raised his fist to start pounding his mother. But God did it that his brother Curtis was there. That one grabbed him. "What is wrong with you?" You see what I'm telling the story? Then one day, a friend just annoyed him on something small. He took a knife, boom, into his stomach. But was God walking? That one had a belt. The buckle was big. It cut the knife. The knife broke. Then he saw his life play out in front of him. He saw himself in prison. He saw himself sentenced to death or life in prison for killing somebody. And he ran home to go and pray. That's why I'm telling this story. He ran home to go and pray. He entered and said, "God, you need to help me. This anger has to end now." He stayed in the closet for a few hours, and the Holy Spirit baptized him, washed him, removed the anger, removed the bitterness. Go and read the story of how he went to university and became a doctor with no money. Sometimes God will literally drop money on the road for him to find. He will be hungry, will have nothing. He will be going on the road. Suddenly see $5. That's the only money. And he was a university student. God lifted him until he became a world, a household name worldwide in the area of medicine. Became a presidential candidate in America. A former, what's it called, minister in Nigeria. Why did I tell the story? He went home and did what?
Prayed.
He prayed. That is a change. That's what we are supposed to use time for. See, there's no new year until critical changes are made. Let me say this one and I begin to round off. And that's the fact that everybody, my pastor used to say those days in Lagos, that each time in your life, God is not correcting you about many things. He said you can know many things intellectually, but only one is applicable at each point in time. He quoted somebody that truth is not perceived in its living form until the soul requires it. That you can accumulate much truth in your head, but it does not become living. It doesn't come alive until the day you require it. And that each time in your life, you say God is not saying more than one or two things to you. You can hear many things, but each time you say God is saying one thing. So when he said, give us this year our daily bread, that's how I interpret it. What is the one thing you are saying to me today? What is the one thing that is needful in each area? Please, husband, wife, student, employer, employee, citizen, whatever. Each time in your life, there's one thing the Lord is saying. And your own new year does not start until you identify that thing. So let me say something to you. When you find stagnation in any part of your life, please, leave the devil out. You see, let me say something here. The rule that applies to the average person on the road is not the rule that applies to the Christian, number one. Number one, to the Christian. And number two, each person. What I'm trying to say is that, generally as Christians, our rules are different. And then as a Christian, you, your rule is different from mine. So if I have stagnation, like I'm in prison, my name is Joseph, it's not the same reason why the guy next door is in jail. He's not a believer. He's not a believer. His father has no covenant with God. I hope you're getting my point. Never forget that thing. Anytime you find stagnation in your life as a Christian, please, I forbid you in the name of the Lord, all this which those who say I will not prosper. Do you know what I found out? If you ever talk to those who say they should, somebody said they shouldn't prosper. Even if you were God, you won't let that person prosper. That is, human beings are very crazy. I want to say some funny story. I know a woman. The husband left her because an adulterer. And went and married another woman in another country. And abandoned his wife and his children. And when the woman is praying, know what she's saying? Those who are holding my husband. Did you hear what I said? Not the wife, but the witches that said they are holding him, that he hasn't come home. I said, are you okay? This man abandoned you and your children and went and picked an Oyibo woman because he wants visa or something. And you are saying, those who are holding him. There are those who believe that. My wife had I don't know whether it's a friend or somebody she knows, but visited her also one day in the house. My wife came later to come and tell me the story. What the woman told her, I was like, mental illness playing to you. Very soon, this one too, they say, is anybody who has madness in the family? Can't you say you are mad? And you are looking for who has madness in the family. So she has been pregnant for 2 years. I saw her. She looked like me while I'm hungry. And said that they've covered the pregnancy, that they will soon release it. So my wife was now confused. So my wife gently left her and came and met me. That how do you cover a pregnancy? So my wife said, have you gone to do ultrasound? Say yes, they could not see it, but it is there. They have covered it. That is a form of mental illness, number one. But it's derived from the fact that we like to blame witches for everything. Christians, please, I forbid you in the name of the Lord from looking in that direction. You can have stagnation, you can have problems. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But as a child of God, you go and pray and say, Lord, what's going on between me and you? What are you doing in my life? What correction am I supposed to make? What changes should I make? Please let me beg you again. If you are corrected about anything, even if the person is wrong, accept the correction. As when you talk like this, hello, good morning. Say, you talk too loud. Don't quarrel. Don't quarrel. See the way you talk very gently. There's always when I say, why do you like to shout? Don't, what do you mean I'm shouting? If I shout, see, do you follow my point? Just say, thank you, and go. Now, if the fellow is wrong, he's wrong. It won't change you. But if by chance he's right, is counted as one of your opportunities for repentance that you did not take. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
When he says, seek the Lord while he may be found, the time comes when he cannot be found. When your donkey is missing the way, your name is Balaam, pray. Why is this donkey going the wrong way? There may just be, the angel was not the problem. I hope you know it was disobedience. It was the love of money. He's prophesying for gain. That was what he needed to be corrected concerning. Your new year has not come until you have identified the correction for the season and you have taken it. Now, let me say something again. You know, my wife and I will discuss these things in the house. I found out that God doesn't have... Christianity is not hard. You just need to learn to pray. When we say correction, we don't mean you have not learned to ascend. No, that's not it. See, all those high... Give me a minute to make you laugh. One of our brethren, a senior sister, sent me the other day. He said, Pastor, what's your comment? When I finally answered, listen to what Christians do. The year 2025 is a perfect square. 45 squares go to 2025. You've seen it? Me, I haven't seen it. I just saw it this one. It's a product of two squares, 9 squared plus times 5 squared. It's a sum of 3 squares, 40 squared plus 20 squared plus 5 squared. It's a sum of cubes of... Now, there are people who do this as a profession. Let me leave jokes out now. As a profession, I've seen it before. Look, they go to university, they are professors of funny mathematics. It's one of cubes of single digits from 1 to 9. 1 cube plus 2 cube plus 3 cube plus 4 cube plus 5 cube plus 6 cube plus 7 cube plus 8 cube plus 9 cube is equal to 2025. I don't know whether it's true or false, but I'm telling you what somebody told me. He said, is there any spiritual significance? I said, no, ma, there's none. Was very. I said, this is an exercise in algebra. And I don't believe it has any importance in spiritual matters. It falls under the worldly philosophy that have the appearance of wisdom. Anything that does not easily reflect Christ is unnecessary philosophy. That was my reply. Christianity is not hard. It's not decoding the algebraic and geometric progression to get to 2025. After all, God doesn't say 2025. The Chinese people don't say 2025. Let me tell you, Christianity is really simple things like you're not honest. When you say 2 plus 2, they are not sure of what you mean. If you say good morning, they have to look outside to check whether it is midnight. If they give you money, your chain is not complete. That's Christianity for you. You don't care about other people. You can't check your scriptures. That's number one. Number one rule in Christianity is love. All God says, look, okay, how much did I give you last year? Go and do an account. And God is talking to somebody, go and print everything for me. Now check how you spent it. Two things consume most of your money. What you eat today and the one you laid up for next for the tomorrow. And you'll be hiding behind my servant banking, saying that tithing is not compulsory. I've told you, trying to fire you there. I know I've been telling you. Be hiding behind banking. Meanwhile, all your money, you work it by yourself or lay it up on earth for your future. When I say, why didn't you tithe? I say, first of all, the tithe is not compulsory. What about first fruit? Panky says it's not compulsory. Then you stop it there. What about cheerful giving? You are not led. Thank you. Like somebody told me once, I don't give until I'm led. Ah! The Holy Spirit always tells them to collect. That's all God is saying. Just print your statement. And your excuse all the time. Anybody is like, you know, do you know how much they have already saved? You excuse everybody's good habit. You don't have any. No, do you know that's all God is saying? He said, print. You believe that everybody that gives is because they have. As far as you are concerned, you don't have. That's what God is saying. Say, you? Oh, God. He said, you don't honor your parents. You have plans, oh. Great plans. When I don't blow, my father will know. You're building me a house in Banana Island. Christmas came and went. You didn't send him chicken. You didn't make him new clothes. You didn't send him anything. But you have plans, oh. When I hit it big, you want to hear what the Spirit is saying? You will never hit it big. Thus says the Lord. You ain't hitting anything big. The only time you hit something big is a big wall. Because the unyieldingness of your spirit will not let me bless you. You're a thief. You know what's unyieldingness? The stealing tendency. Yes. See, that's what God corrects. I need Christians to understand. It's not big things, though. Say you can't lie. Hey, I was on my way to your house, and it started raining in December in Enugu. You have already said before you realized that it was not raining in Enugu. He said, so it's not raining, I meant. It started raining, dust was now falling from the sky. Your mouth lies before you think. You have a culture. And that's what God, do you know that's what he's addressing? Do you know there are Christian men who still chase women? Are you mad? You want to die early. And some of these boys are married. Some of these boys are married. God said, what? I will kill you. You, what is wrong with your head? You think we are joking in church? That's what God is correcting. See, all this square you are doing. All this Pythagoras. All this Pythagoras theorem. It's not what? No, that's not Christianity. So then God is correcting you. It's not things like that. Some people, I met a woman once. You know, she worried so much, I thought it was a joke. When I met the brother, she's a doctor. The brother is a doctor. So one day I told the brother, I said, your sister came to see me about this and this. He said, sir, that's how she is. I said, no, she wasn't joking. He said, no, sir, she was not joking. She had a skin rash. She had gone to hospital clinic. They'd cut part of the skin. No biopsy. So that I can tell them what it is. So they sent it to me. I looked at it. She now came at me. Have I seen her biopsy? I said, yes. He said, do I think it's cancer? Do you know, I thought it was a joke. She had read and read. And of all the things it could be, she chose the worst. We call it mycosis fungoides. She said, are you sure it's not my cousin come from God? Like, where did that come from? Can you even pronounce that word properly? I was like, excuse me. Have you seen it before? This girl harassed me. Oh. Do you know, I thought she was joking. So now when I met the brother, leave her. That's what she be. Now, please, a bad habit. Always thinking the worst of every situation. It's a bad habit. Please, there's another one very common with people my age. And some of you are anyway, you are young. Always thinking the worst of political situations and government policies. See, Bola Tinubu came to Enugu now. You have already seen the plot. He now said that he and our governor can work together. Is it? We see it? We said it? The governor is good. We are finished. You think the worst of every situation. One day I told somebody, I said, Dangote's refinery will still come on stream. He said, he will not be in bondage to that man again. Yeah. That was the statement a man made. Let me stop preaching here. That I said, please, Christianity is not hard. God said to Moses, what has God asked from you? But it's not much, just to love the Lord thy God. Let me add my own words, to love your neighbor as yourself. Little things like that, God checks it. Like, you know, I keep on saying like a joke here. You park your car. How well did you consider somebody else who wants to drive past? As simple like you are eating, you are full. Somebody else needs food. And you decide to freeze this one because you eat it next week. Please tell your neighbor, don't be wicked. Tell your neighbor, you can say, love others. Think good for other people. Please tell your neighbor, say, love others. Think good for other people. So over the last few days, the Holy Spirit helped me understand. This thing I've said is not a joke. It's a strict commandment. And any Christian that doesn't do it, God will judge the person severely. Yeah. You can't be doing business and cheating. See, some people won't like what I'm saying, but it's true. God will enjoy you. That he's angry. Say, my son is a cheat. Say, the angels, beat him. Beat him hard until he's hospitalized. You just be going on the road at night. You won't know. You think they're armed robbers. They're not armed robbers. They're armed angels. You just say, hey, give me your phone. You say, which phone? Wow, your face. That, by the time you open your eyes, you've been unconscious for 3 days. Now, two angels beat you into unconsciousness. Police will be looking for Agbero. It's not Agbero. Why? God says, you cheat. You sell fuel. Your 10 liters is only 8.2 liters. I will burn your filling station. I mean, we're here, co-workers with the years, you know, we're talking about it. You know, I didn't even know. You know, it was when I was just yesterday, I realized that these are the things we prophesied. I saw those who are saying people should bet. That their lives will be a bet, will be a gamble. Now, my kid said that he lost $3.7 million last year. Somebody now pointed and said, Pastor, but you said that if they do this, what will happen? I said, oh, it's like $3.7 million. If I give most people here $3.7 million, God will have to pull them down from the mountain that they climbed to. Say, come down. That is, they will have entered the higher realm. From where they will never be broke again. You cannot tell young boys and young girls to go and spend their money betting when you know they will never win because somebody is paying you. God says it is wickedness. Christianity is not harder than what I've told you. So if you want a new year, you bow your head. Ask God, these are the things you are saying. In fact, let me just read this out to you. Then I close. Because my brother and I were praying today. All right? The prayer is still on. But these are among the things we put together. Please, like I said, I've finished preaching. We'll just start praying and we'll continue to pray. We called it 7 Dedications of a Thirsty Soul. Number 1, this year, you will dedicate to pursue a deep and serious walk of faith. Number 2, dedicate yourself to prayer with thanksgiving and intercession. Number 3, dedicate yourself to having the word dwell in your heart. Dedicate yourself to fellowship. There's what we call the circumcision of Moses. Then there's what they call that seeking to hear the voice of God clearly and to know his will in all that you do. And last of all, to be faithful even when faced with death. Christianity is not hard. It's just these simple things that God keeps asking us concerning. You want a new year? Bow your heads and say, Lord. So our school of prayer, these are the things we pray about. Let's just quickly pray. Maybe I'll review this next time and then we'll really get into praying line by line. And say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever is keeping me in the old year, old year is not 2024. We said it now, it's not 2025. God can create 10 years for you and insert it into 1 year. But if you're not careful, you will spread your 1 year over a 10-year period. The progress people make in 1 year, 10 years you have not made it. So time is not an issue, but it's been given to us to measure. So if you appear stagnated, say to the Lord, wait, am I stagnated? What is my lesson? Say, give me this day my daily bread.
Take a few more seconds to pray that prayer. Help me to take the corrections. Help me to walk in your light. Help me to use the time well. We must walk the works of him that sent us. The night is coming when no man can walk. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walks in the day, he will not stumble.